We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Give you just a moment. Got a simple fill-in-the-blank sheet tonight to help you. Simple fill-in-the-blank sheet to help you just a little bit there. I hope that you'll do this. There are times when I was, when all of our kids were at home, that we'd sit down for family devotions and we'd deal with something, and then I would say to the kids that, you know, this is the kind of thing that's called family business. This does not need to be talked about outside the house. And I would appreciate what you saw tonight as family business. Okay? People in the community would never understand. I don't know how this compares to other churches. I don't know what kind of fund balances River Valley carries. I have no idea what the Catholic Church has. I have no idea what Nazarene Church has in a fund balance. I have any idea. But some people hear $390,000 in the bank and they think, good grief, what are they doing? But as you see, we only have about $100,000 to work with here at the church. Okay? So it's not just sitting on a gold mine, that's for sure. Although, we can be very thankful for God's goodness. Very thankful. Okay? I do know that a lot of independent Baptist churches are really just scratching to survive. So we can be thankful. We're in 2 Thessalonians 2. I need to pray. Father, thank you for the goodness you showed us last year financially. Please help us to be faithful to you. Bless the church. And help us, Lord, with this building fund to do everything we can to get out of debt to that bank. Just help us in that area. Be with this study tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a little 3-week thing here. Next week we're going to missions conference, but we looked 2 weeks ago at the biblical view of Gentile world government to Daniel chapter 2. Last week we were in Daniel chapter 8, comparing Antiochus Epiphanes and the Antichrist. And we learned last week how that Antiochus was an historical figure who lived about 160, 170, 160, 150 BC in that time frame. He was a type of the Antichrist. Now, I want to take just a minute tonight and talk about that verse that we ended on last week in 1 John 2, and I'll read that to you in just a minute, all right? But look down with me at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin. Now, there's your first answer on your handout sheet. This is the Antichrist. And I want you to notice what Paul calls him in 2 Timothy 2. In verse number 3, he calls him the man of sin. Okay? Then he continues, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So there's your second blank on the fill-in, the son of perdition. Another description of the Antichrist. So he's called the man of sin and the son of perdition. Look down to verse number 8 in this chapter. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Now I want you to notice that's a capital W, okay? That's talking about a personal, that's a personal name, all right? That's a capital W. And so that's talking about the Antichrist, and I believe a capital W because that's what he is, wickedness personified, all right? The embodiment of Satan himself, if you will, all right? So Paul puts this, some pretty heavy terms on this fella. Calls him the man of sin, the son of perdition, and that wicked, okay, in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, this man of sin, this Antichrist, will not be revealed until the tribulation period, all right? Will not be revealed until the tribulation period. Is he in existence right now? He might be. I don't know. He may not be, all right? That might be years, a few years down the road or several years down the road. But maybe the Antichrist is in existence right now. I'm not sure of that. But I know that he will not be revealed until the tribulation period has begun. And then you know what? I wonder if he will not be. Be careful with what I say here. I wonder if he won't be fully recognized. Now, during the tribulation, we're going to be up in heaven. That's a blessed thing. Amen? So the known world during the tribulation period, I don't know if the known world during the tribulation period, will fully recognize the Antichrist until halfway through. Okay? Because he comes in so slick, you and I would know, looking down from heaven. okay? But the world's going to be under strong delusion. Strong delusion. He's going to come to power through policies of peace, crafting policies of peace. We saw that last week in Daniel chapter 8. Okay? And so the world's going to be under this strong delusion when this takes place. And I'm not sure that they will recognize that he is the Antichrist. They'll fully recognize that until halfway through the tribulation period when he breaks his 7-year covenant with Israel. Okay? And the abomination of desolation, which Antiochus Epiphanes was a picture of that when he offered that pig on the Jewish temple altar. He was a picture of what the Antichrist will do at the halfway point of the tribulation period when he breaks the covenant with Israel and he defiles the temple, the abomination of desolation. All right? So the world may not recognize the Antichrist until halfway through the tribulation period. Now, look at 1 John chapter 2. This is where we ended up last week with this verse. And we're just going to be there for a second and then right back to 2 Thessalonians. So keep your finger there, 2 Thessalonians. This is what John said in verse number 18. My little children, let us... I'm sorry, I'm in 1 John. Let me get this... You know what? I'm in the wrong scripture here. 1 John chapter 2. There it is. And verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. I want you to look at that in verse number 18. It is the last time, and as ye have heard. Now, John is writing this letter after A.D. 90. And he tells these people, it's the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. So guess what folks must have been talking about in the first century? They must have been talking about the Antichrist and the coming of Christ. Isn't that what it says? Okay. It is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. You've already heard that. People have been talking about that. Okay. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Okay. Now go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look with me at verse number 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? Now, Paul says, hey, don't you remember, church in Thessalonica, when I was with you? Now, I can't remember off the top of my head right now how many trips to Thessalonica the Apostle Paul made. It may have been 2. We know he was there once when he started the church in Acts 17. Okay? And so he says in verse number 5, and now ye know what withholdeth, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. What things? These things he's talking about in verses 3 and 4 about the Antichrist. All I'm simply saying is, you know, talk about the Antichrist. People say, why you want to talk about the Antichrist? Why you want to talk about the Antichrist? Man, why don't we need, folks, they've been talking, Christians have been talking about the Antichrist since the first century. Because the Antichrist has to do with what? The rapture. Christians have been looking forward to the rapture for 2,000 years. We've got to be getting close. I've seen all kinds of stuff, and you know, trying to come up on some of this stuff, bone up on some of this lately. There's all kinds of stuff on the internet now about people are talking between, such and such 2014 and October of 2015, and these moons and all this stuff. You know, it can really get involved. Listen, there is a difference in the word immediate and imminent. Immediate means right now, with no time lapse. I said, Brother Caleb, can you run to my office and do it immediately? He'd get up and go. Okay? Imminent means it's hanging over. At any time. Okay? Might be a time lapse, might not be. The coming of Christ is not immediate, but it's imminent. It's imminent. It could be tonight. Okay, but there may be a time lapse. So Christians have been talking about the coming of the Lord, the rapture, the Antichrist, since first century. And John said that the spirit of Antichrist was in the world back in the first century. Now, Antichrist is a combination word. Anti is familiar to us as meaning against. Okay, that's the first meaning. Anti is a prefix that means against, letter A. Letter B, it also means opposing. Okay, if I'm anti, I'm opposing. Not only does the Antichrist, not only is he against Christ and he opposes Christ, but letter C, he puts himself in the place of Christ. And you see that here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. He says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he puts himself in the place of Christ. Okay? So this is what you got about the Antichrist. He is against Christ, he opposes Christ, and he's in the place, he puts himself in the place of Christ, all right? So the Antichrist is the one who is against Christ, opposing Christ, putting himself in the place of Christ. Now watch this. That spirit has been at work in the world for a long time. John said it was at work in the world back in the first century, so that's been how long? 2,000 years. But friend, all you have to do is know your Bible a little bit, and you'll see that the spirit of Antichrist was at work in the Old Testament. And I got 9 instances here. So question number 4, the spirit of Antichrist has been at work in the world for a short time period. The answer to that is false. That's false. Okay, the effort to thwart the Antichrist effort, the opposing Christ effort, the putting self in the place of Christ effort has been at work in the world for thousands of years. Now, I'm going to start letter A with what I consider to be the second example of this, but I'm giving it to you as the first example because I'm not going to get into the first example. Does that make sense to you? The first example is Exodus chapter 1 and Pharaoh. But I think there was one before that, but it's so controversial, I'm not going to get into it tonight. I'll throw you out the chapter, you go home and read it, Genesis chapter 6. That's all I'll say. Okay. All right? But just for sake of not being controversial, I don't have time to be controversial. But Exodus chapter 1, you remember that? Hebrews are down in Egypt, what does Pharaoh say? Kill all the what? Kill all the boy babies. Kill all the males. Well, if you're going to kill all the Hebrew babies, what are you going to do? You're going to wipe out the what? The Messianic line. Because Christ is coming through the Jews. Not born yet. Too many years early. Pharaoh says, destroy all the boy babies. Okay, let the daughters live. All you Egyptian midwives, you kill all those boy babies. Let all the girls live. If you don't have any boy babies, you don't have a seed. Okay? So you got, that's the first attempt right there to thwart the work of Christ. Number 2, letter B is the times of the kings. I don't have time to go into this. We might do this because this is really interesting. The times of the kings. Many times, the royal line through which the Messiah would come got down to one lone individual. Just one living man. Okay? And that royal lineage through which Christ would come hung on one life. You got a king that has several sons. He's in the royal lineage. And a couple of times, all those sons were killed except for one. It's really interesting. And how God protected that one. One time, the one seed, the one man carrying on the promised seed was hid in the temple for 6 years. It's very interesting. Okay? Now, so you got the royal line, the messianic line through which Christ would come, hanging on one life. Folks, life is only one breath away from death. That's all. So Satan, through attempt after attempt to destroy the royal line through which the Messiah would come. By the way, did you pick up in the translation of the Arab man on Sunday night when he would say Messias? Mr. from Lebanon, Hakim from Lebanon, would interpret that to be Christ. I was listening, I caught that. And I asked him over here at the restaurant, went to Steak and Shake, got a burger. It's very interesting. Very interesting. So I asked him, I said, what's your opinion of the Jews? And they said, we believe the Jews are the chosen people of God. But friend, that divide runs so deep. That man from Lebanon. Do you know if I have a passport that has been stamped for entry into Israel, I cannot use that passport to get into Lebanon. I have to get a brand new passport that has no Israeli stamps in it to go to Lebanon. If they look through it, they see an Israeli stamp, you ain't getting in. Just a stamp. Anyway, we had a great conversation. Didn't we, Dennis? Dennis went along. He knows some of those guys. He didn't like that part where Jesus called. He said, "Am I a dog?" The Syrophoenician woman, you know, Jesus said, "I'm not going to give the bread, the children's bread to the dogs." Why did Jesus call us dogs? Why a dog? I said, "We're all dogs." He said, "So I thought it through," and he said, "You know," he said, "a dog is a pet, so the children get to eat first and then the pets eat." I said, "You got it, we're all pets." That's all we are. But at least we're in the right house, amen. Eating at the right table under it. It was unbelievable. Here I am wasted. Here, I'm just having fun with you, okay? I'm just saying over and over again, God spared the messianic line from annihilation at the hand of the spirit of Antichrist. Next one, letter C, is the time of Esther. Remember that? And Haman comes up with this plan to destroy all the city. Kill all the Jews. Kill all the Jews. Kill them all. Well, if you kill all the Jews, what do? You destroy the vine. So how'd God take care of that? Royal insomnia. He keeps one king awake all night who starts reading. You know the story. Most of you know it, right? So again, the messianic line is taken care of because God intervenes against the spirit of Antichrist working through Haman. Next line is the man Antiochus Epiphanes himself. Okay, we talked about him last week. Tried to wipe out the Jewish people. Was thwarted by God. The revolt by the Maccabees. I'm not talking about the books called the Maccabees. I'm talking about the Maccabean army. Okay? Antiochus Epiphanes. Next line is Herod. Herod at the time of the birth of Christ. Remember that? We talked about that. Sent the wise men out to find Jesus and bring me word again that I may worship him with you. Blah, blah, blah. What was he going to do? Going to kill him. And proved it by having what? All the babies 2 years of age under killed. Can you believe that? So what was that at work? What was that? What was working then? Spirit of Antichrist. Okay. Next line. Satan himself. He took on the job personally when he tempted Christ in the wilderness. Remember that? And if Christ had given in to the temptation of Satan, he could never have gone to the cross. So the spirit of Antichrist was at work right there in Satan himself. And then next line is the people of Nazareth. The people of Nazareth, it's recorded in the Gospels when Jesus was talking there in his hometown, where he grew up, that they were going to take him and try to throw him off of a cliff. But he disappeared out of their midst. Remember that story? Yeah. You say, what caused him to do that? Spirit of Antichrist. Spirit of Antichrist. The next one might surprise you. Letter number H. Peter. You say, Peter got moved by the spirit of Antichrist? Sure did. Sure did. I'm going to go to the cross. What did Peter say? Not so, Lord. What did Jesus say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. Spirit of Antichrist. And then the last line is the Romans who did crucify Christ. Now here's the spirit of Antichrist. And sealed his tomb. But up from the grave he arose. Amen. And you know what we could probably add to this list? Number six, we could probably safely say that Hitler was operating under the spirit of Antichrist. Because his purpose was to eradicate the Jewish people. Now you say, well, what in the world? What good would that do? Because, you know, Christ has already died on the cross before Hitler's time and salvation's already paid for. Listen, friend, God's not done with the Jew. And I don't know how I can say this, you know, but you can see that the spirit of Antichrist has been engaged against Christ and his work for a long, long time. Now, you take all of those instances that I just gave you right there, and maybe one or two that I forgot about, looked over, and you add them all up and you put them into one individual and sum it all up and put it all into one man, and you have the man of sin, you have the son of perdition, you have that wicked one, Antichrist. Okay? And even though the cross is behind Christ, his work is not done. Listen, salvation is everything to us. But do you understand that salvation is just a part of what Christ's great big plan is? Do you understand that one day his plan will end when he presents creation back to God? in a redeemed form where the, all of creation will worship the God of heaven. That's 1 Corinthians 15. After Jesus has everything under His feet, He then submits it all to the Father and steps off and says, God, You and Your creation are together again. Forever. And until that happens, you're going to have the spirit of Antichrist at work. You with me? Okay. So this is just a little bit of info, FYI, about the Antichrist. Christians have been talking about it since the first century. And I'm sorry I went so fast, but I didn't want to hold you longer tonight than what we normally stay. And, you know, all I can say is, man, what Jesus said, lift up your heads, redemption draweth nigh. I believe that. It may not be immediate. It may, if it was immediate, it'd be right now. But it is imminent, which means it could be now. Before I finish this prayer that we're going to pray, let's stand together, all right? If I don't see you when I open my eyes, I'll see you up there, all right? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the privilege to look in your book tonight and learn a little bit about the spirit of Antichrist, which has been at work, John said, since the first century. And we can look back at your word and find examples all the way back to the garden, to Genesis, I believe. And then, Lord, through time, as we said. So, Lord, it's time to occupy and be busy. We've got a missions conference coming up. We want to serve you. Keep on track. Not dip our flags, dip our sails. Be true to you. Honor you. Love you. Serve you like we talked about. Obey you. Until this all thing is settled and wrapped up at your feet. Help us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name.